In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. God's rich grace and mercy be yours in Christ Jesus our Lord. As we begin now this new year, of course, in the calendar of the church, also a new part of our academic year. And as we do, we cannot help but think back maybe for a moment or two about all of the tasks that are done from the last quarter. Maybe there was some struggle, and maybe there was some pain. Hopefully much of that is forgotten, but not the substance of what you learned in the quarter now ended. A new quarter now is upon us with new classes, new professors, and for the professors, some new students as well. Everything is fresh and new and hopefully full of promise as we break open this new quarter of study. Zechariah speaks the words of the Benedictus. Earlier he had asked for a sign concerning the unlikely pregnancy of his elderly wife, Elizabeth. He received what he prayed for, a sign. A sign undoubtedly that he would have preferred not to have had, for he was, as you know, dumbstruck in the technical sense of the term, not in the colloquial sense of feeling dumbstruck as one begins a challenging final, although he certainly knew the foolishness of his doubting during his time of silence. As Zechariah names his son John, he rejoices at the wonderful certainty of God's word to him, for he cannot only now speak clearly, but the Holy Spirit has enlightened him with a new and prophetic spiritual clarity. His Benedictus is a song of praise to God. It is filled with gratitude because of God's rich and lavish mercy in a harsh world. And it is a prophecy of the Savior to come, and the role that his son would play in announcing that Savior to the world. Well, Zechariah and Elizabeth would have naturally given up on the whole idea of having a family. It was clear that God was still at work. Truth is, it's easy for us to give up on a lot of things, especially when we are called to trust in things beyond our imagination or achievement. In our human depravity, it is much easier for us to trust that which is humanly achievable and explainable. While grace is generous and good, it sometimes seems almost too good to be true. Can darkness really shine in the darkest places of my heart or your heart? Would God actually rescue us from the hands of our enemies and those who would hate us? Can our fears really be taken away? Really taken away? I will always remember my seminary days. During these years, we learn more than we realize, and we will later treasure it more than we can imagine. Much of that happens, of course, in the formal setting of our classrooms. Some of it also happens over a cup of coffee or even a brewski. But the best part of it happens as the Holy Spirit enlightens and teaches us, as it did Zechariah. These days at the seminary offer us a time of quiet and peace that are not always available in the world outside of the campus. During these days, you have the opportunity to do some serious wrestling, which I know you do. Some serious spiritual wrestling about the big issues of life and faith. You might find yourself pulled between two possible temptations. One, a feeling of worthlessness or unworthiness. How can I possibly be doing this? What if President Wenthe knew me 5 years ago or 10 years ago? Who am I kidding? Still struggle with many of the same temptations I have always had. Maybe your family and friends over this Thanksgiving holiday once again congratulated you on such a lofty goal that you have. For you and are in their eyes maybe a kind of holy person, preparing for the highest possible calling, and having always in your heart and mind the highest and most lofty thoughts. But you know that we are all still really poor, miserable sinners. Counted as holy, yes, because of God's grace and mercy, but by our own might, still very much a sinner. Unless, of course, the other temptation draws you, and that temptation is actually deciding that we are pretty good after all. Maybe we are a little bit on the holy side all by ourselves. All right. Always right. Always on track. Never in danger of going dumb. This temptation is not only very real while we are here at the seminary, but it can also be a stumbling block in the parish too. For most people will hold you in high regard, maybe even place you on a pedestal, depend upon you to be very reliable when it comes to the knotty questions of life and faith. And yet, we know that we cannot be or become infallible. The church can never rest on our wit or our wisdom or our learning. We will always be men who are flawed, called to serve a holy God as we share his holy gospel with real people, struggle with the same evil that trips up all of humanity. Zechariah's song is a profound prophecy and humble praise and thanksgiving because of what God was and is doing. For Zechariah understands what we understand and must proclaim, that God is the one who is strong. He is the one who fills our Advent season with hope and our new quarter of study with promise. He is the one who focuses us, rescues us, guides us, leads us, and directs us in our personal lives, and finally in our professional lives as pastors in the church. He is the one who holds and blesses us and his holy church. It is from him that we receive the outpouring of grace in word and sacrament. It is in his mercy that he brings us forgiveness, and it is his mercy that will allow us to announce forgiveness to those in our pastoral care. He is the one who raises up that horn of salvation, as it were, for us and for his people. It is his sacrifice that changes and has changed our human destiny. And gentlemen, we get to announce, preach, and teach that powerful truth. And as we do, we grow right along with our congregation. Every sermon that you preach, every class that you teach, will stretch you. Every time you are in God's Word, God's Spirit will enlighten you once again to what you thought you knew, but now you understand it a bit more clearly. We'll join with Zechariah, praising God for helping you to see what you thought you had seen before, see it ever more clearly. And we feed the people that God places into our care with the Holy Gospel in the narrow and the broad sense. It is God who opens our mouths to speak, and it is the Holy Spirit who blesses those efforts. It is the Holy Spirit who still calls, gathers, and enlightens. And it is this Holy Spirit that allows us to be part of the miracle. And I know my brothers in Christ who teach here at the seminary also find this to be true. Every time you begin a new quarter, it is filled with hope. No matter how many times you have taught the course, No matter how many times you have begun a class, every time offers an opportunity for you to stretch and grow right along with the students. What a joy and a blessing it is to be in God's church and have that opportunity for growth. Zechariah's message marks the last prophecy of the Old Testament and, of course, the beginning of the New. Much of his language harkens back to the Old Testament, but his message leads clearly to Jesus Christ. God is fulfilling his promise, and Zechariah's son will be instrumental in announcing the Messiah. The promise of God is unfolding. This is the advent of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is the one who dies to forgive you and me and all the world. This is the earth-shaking message that God truly loves this world and the people of this world. This is the earth-shaking message that we celebrate and share in the church. It is the message that leads us to love, trust, and serve with one another. This is the message that fills the Advent season to the very brim. We do everything that we can to think that we can think of to teach and to show this, sharing those glorious passages of prophecy, singing hymns filled with hope, the hope that comes from God, gathering in Holy Communion and daily celebrating our baptism. As you think about serving a congregation, remember that you will be joining with those whom God will have you shepherd. The Benedictus explains that the work of John will give now the knowledge of salvation to his people through the forgiveness of their sins. John comes not as a new lawgiver, but he is to provide knowledge of and information concerning the rescue that would unfold in Jesu Christi. We find in these words the reason and the motivation for God's dramatic action. It is the tender mercy of God by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death. Our helplessness is profoundly clear to God. The darkness of death speaks out and shows those who are lost forever. And we too would be stuck in our own sin without a Savior. Zechariah speaks of the great change that comes by God's grace in Christ Jesus. You will speak it too. The rest of your life, the rest of your breath, to young, old, to those who are wise and those who are not so wise, you will speak to them the good news of the gospel. As you live and breathe, my prayer is that these words of the Benedictus may be on your lips. As you wrestle with the struggles within you, the challenges you see around you, do not give up. You are God's loved and redeemed child, baptized in his holy name and preparing to serve his holy church. May the burst of prophecy that we hear from Zechariah this morning be a blessing to each of us today and throughout this Advent season. Or may we in humble joy celebrate God's love for us as we prepare to lead that celebration among the very lambs that God gives to us in his church. His peace is with you. Amen.